course, we will all know that the first fire in a church was on the day of Pentecost. When tongues of fire came down upon the people there, they didn't need an alarm that day. But just to reiterate what Ruth was saying about the Christmas appeal, it's a really worthwhile thing that we can do, and to show the love of Christ, to exhibit God's love, what He's done for us, in a way that we can show support and love to others around who don't know anything about God's love and who are in desperate need. We are called to do that. It's part of what being a Christian is about, actually. We love others. We show love in very real ways. Last night I was watching a brief documentary on the Victorian era, and just at the time when it went on to talk about the Salvation Army and about how William Booth was heavily involved in helping those around them, giving out blessing. Why? Because they had been blessed. They had revelation of God's love, and that outworked in giving to others. So let's just pray, shall we, before we get into God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for times like this where we can feast upon the word of God. And I pray not only can we and shall we feast on your word, but I pray, Lord, that you would visit us by your Holy Spirit. You would just come upon us even now, right at the very start, by your Holy Spirit, and soften our hearts to receive what you want to speak to us today. We pray this in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. So last week we looked at how God encouraged and commands and warned his people in the past about making sure that they remembered what God had done. This is really important for the people of God. God was always said, always remember what I've done, how I've worked in your life, how I've provided for you and helped you and changed you, because if you don't, this is what will happen. Pride will creep in, arrogance will creep in, and before you know it, just like the Israelites, they grumbled, they went around saying, oh, we want this, we want that, we're not happy with what we've got. And they became arrogant and stiff-necked because they didn't remember. So that's what we looked at last week, at the importance of remembering. And this morning I want us to look at something just as important for us as it is to remember God and all that he has done and promised. It's also important that we live in the now, in the present, at this moment in time, being mindful of what God is saying and doing right now in your life. And this morning I want us to look at how we can and how we need to, with all the turbulence and tirelessness of life, be mindful of God in our life today. Somebody once said, regarding the busyness of life, we live in a world of distractions, and it's very easy not to be in the moment. I'm sure you are all aware of that. It seems, for some of us, and probably for the majority of us, it will seem that life is one big, huge, constant, never-ending to-do list. Is that a fair assumption? That it just feels like there is always something to do, and it's regardless of whether you are working full-time, retired, young, old, there's always something going on for all ages and for all stages of life. So for young people, meeting up with friends, college work, part-time work, the pressures of that being a young person. It's constantly, oh, what am I doing next? Where am I going next? What am I doing this weekend? And the list goes on. Young families, dealing with your children, taking them to places, and the constant need to give them supervision, plus work commitments on top of that. And as kids get older, there are different distractions, taking them to clubs, friends' houses, encouraging them to do your homework. Plus the whole thing of your own career and what you've got to do. And it doesn't matter, even if you don't have kids, you don't have a family, there's still things to do. There's paperwork, there's cleaning the house, there's doing the washing, there's doing all these things, meeting up with people, arranging stuff, fixing things, taking the car to, you know, MOT repair, whatever. There's just constant stuff you've got to do all the time. And I'm very conscious of the fact that today many Christians struggle to carve out time for God. And I want to underline this, that I'm not just talking about time praying and reading, because that too can become part of the to-do list. I've got to pray, got to read the Bible, another thing done. Got to get those things done, get them crossed off. Yes, I'm on track. But I'm talking about, for a moment in your day, just stopping and being aware of God in your life. Because I know this is true for me, you can go through a whole week and not even cast a glance upwards. If it is, it's momentarily, because of your life is so packed, so rammed with things to do, and they are all legitimate, important, necessary things. Okay, I'm not saying they're not. They're all important things to do. But I want us to see from this passage we're going to look at this morning what God says about this. So if you've got your Bibles, if you want to turn to Psalm 46. Psalm 46 is a famous passage, a famous psalm, should I say. Luther tells us that it was called, most people call it Luther's psalm, as in Martin Luther. And Luther was going through a period of trial. There's a black plague, and his son was nearly dying. And he went to Psalm 46 for solace and encouragement. It was often said that he went with his companion, Philip Melanchthon, and said, "Come, Philip, let us sing the 46th psalm," as by means of just gaining encouragement and a sense of nearness to God. So let's have a look at Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. Amen. It's one of those psalms you can really amen, because it's probably very applicable to all of us. So let's have a look at this passage, and what we're going to do is look at it. We're going to look at one particular part in this passage, and it's written by an unknown author, but a lot of the Bible scholars attribute it to a time when Jerusalem was surrounded by the Assyrians. The king Sennacherib was surrounding the city of Jerusalem, and Hezekiah, who was king at the time, he was there, and the Assyrians surrounded that city. You can read about it in 2 Kings 18. It's an amazing story of God's deliverance. And as I said, the Assyrians surround the Jerusalem, and they are making threats against their city. And in the end, King Hezekiah calls out to God, and God answers in the most powerful, astonishing way. And this psalm is a great Bible passage for anyone who is going through a testing time. If you're going through a testing time now, this is a psalm for you. Because it's a time when the psalmist is feeling the troubles, the pressures of life, the temptations, the pull of the world, fears, anxieties. And if you're suffering from any of those things, you can go to this psalm, and you can see why Luther went to this psalm and said, let's go and sing the 46th psalm. Because it is packed full of reassuring truth that God is with us and that we need not fear. So it's broken up in 3 sections. You'll see that with the breaks in between. There's a couple of choruses in there as well. But we'll just briefly, first of all, we'll look at the layout of the passage and see how it's laid out and what it says. So the first section lays out the claims of God, that he is our refuge and strength. He's an ever-present help in times of trouble. And because of these truths, because he is a refuge you can run into, because he's strong, and he's not just strong, but he is our strength. And because he is an ever-present help, that means he's a help with us all the time, throughout the day, throughout the night, forever and ever. Because of these things, then we need not fear. Just think about them for a moment. Ever-present. He's always with you. Just to let these things just sink in for a moment. God has never, ever, ever, ever left you. He's never abandoned you. And as we can see in this passage with the choruses there, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He is our refuge. When you think about refuge, you think about something you can run into. Just like Angela brought that word this morning about the roof with the hole in it, and it's open to the elements. This morning, in my quiet time at home, I was praying and I was thinking about how God is our refuge, and a refuge we run to. It's something that you can get shelter from, and I needn't have to fear. So, for instance, when you're at home and it starts raining, I'm sure none of you are thinking, as you're sat in your comfy lounge or in your chair, you're thinking, oh, I hope I don't get wet. I really hope I don't get wet. Unless you've got a serious roof problem, and then maybe you'd be thinking that. But the probability is that you're there and you're not even thinking about the rain. You're not even thinking about the storm outside. Why? Because you are sheltered. Because you're in your refuge. And it's the same with God. Because you're in God, because you're in Christ. That's why it says God is our refuge and strength. It's stating these immovable facts of life. God is your refuge and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, looking back to that, we will not fear. How can we fear when God is our refuge? It's trusting in God. And then it goes on and uses this wonderful imagery of the most seemingly immovable stuff you can imagine on the earth moving. So it says, therefore we will not fear though the earth give way. I mean, the very foundations of earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. It's speaking about things which you think, oh, I can never see a mountain slip into the sea. I could never see or feel the earth give way. But in this life, there are things which, even today, we think we are seeing moving. We're seeing moved, and they are actually moving, which we thought were stable. And even though all earthly things that seemed immovable, all the things that seemed like they will never fail, like financial systems, like governments, like nations, like health and sickness situations, even though the very earth, the fabric of the earth, gives way, we will not fear because God is our refuge. So he's painting a picture saying it's staying right at the very beginning. We needn't fear. We needn't be anxious in those times of surging and mountains falling into the depths of the sea and all these things moving around us. We needn't fear because he is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. So this morning you may be in those times of trouble, but don't fear. Don't fear, please don't fear. Not because I'm saying don't fear, because God says don't fear. He says don't fear, I'm your refuge. You can come to me, take refuge in me. So just like Sennacherib being, Hezekiah being surrounded by Sennacherib, Hezekiah knew the one to go to was God. And that's what this psalm is just starting off by saying. Now, then it goes on into the second section. And we have, again, some wonderful imagery of life-giving, peaceful river that brings joy to the city of God, Jerusalem. And the Bible mentions rivers quite a few times. You may have noticed that. In Psalm 1, it speaks about a tree planted by a river that sends down its roots and is fruitful even in a time of drought. It mentions it in Revelation 22, the river of the water of life flowing from the throne of God down the middle of the great city. And there's trees bearing fruit and yielding life because of the river. In Isaiah 48, verse 18, it says, if only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river. So in the Bible, we see that there, with river, it speaks of peace, it speaks of life, it speaks of fruitfulness, it speaks of joy, all these things. But in Hezekiah, in 2 Kings 20, where it speaks about this situation with Hezekiah being surrounded by Sennacherib, we see that Jerusalem doesn't have a river flowing through it, but there is a stream there. And it's mentioned in 2 Kings 20, verse 20, that Hezekiah was noted for diverting a stream under the city so that it would be never without a water supply. So they couldn't be cut off from any. If enemies cut off the stream, it was fine. They still had it. I forget what distance it was underground, but it went underground and popped up in the city. And many a Christian is like a picture of Jerusalem in that on the outside, many things happen to us. But on the inside, we must know that there is a river of joy and peace that comes from the throne of heaven. We can only get that peace. You can only get that sense of being content and satisfied when you are connected with God you allow that river of peace to run through you. We all know what that's like, don't we, when talking about peace. We know what it's like when we don't have peace in our life. When we're trusting in our own things, our own way of sorting out stuff. But even in the midst of real trouble, real hardship, real tumultuous times in your life, you can still know the peace of God. I think I may have used it before. It's been definitely mentioned here before about Horatio Spafford, who wrote the famous hymn after losing four of his daughters on that sinking ship that they were sailing on. And just an awful time, you think about this. Losing four of his daughters in a sinking ship. His wife survives. And as he's going out to visit his wife on the other side of the world to comfort her, as they go over that place where his daughters drowned, the captain brings him up and says, "This is the place where the ship sank that your daughters were on." He retired below deck and he wrote the hymn, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." So here, even though the nations are in uproar and all these things are happening, we as followers of Jesus have a river of peace in our life that brings joy and contentment no matter what goes on. And if the mountains are falling into the sea and all of that is taking place, I'm not saying it will be easy. I'm not saying those things still hurt. I'm not saying those things are still problematic in the sense when you're going through the storms, you kind of get wet, you get battered around. But at the end of it all, deep down, there is the peace of God who can carry you through those times and seasons in your life. And no matter what else you try, nothing else will satisfy you like God. It's absolutely true. So let's just quickly move on. Again, we come to that chorus, "The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." And in the third section, it's basically a declaration that God is in control of everything. He is the one who makes wars cease. He breaks the power of the enemy. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. And it's against this backdrop that we see verse 10. And I just believe God would want us to take hold of this today, because there is something in this verse that speaks very powerfully and I think very timely for a lot of us. In your busyness of life and in the tugging and pulling of you from all sorts of things, and in the falling of the mountains and the surging of the seas, when you feel surrounded and hemmed in, there is a command here for us to be still and know that He is God. What does that mean, though? Because that's a mighty fine platitude to have and to speak to somebody who's going through it. Be still and know that He is God. How do we do this? How do we know this? Well, first of all, be still. Be still, that phrase means relax, actually. In the Hebrew, it means relax. It means loosen your grip, as if you are holding on to a sword, tightly clenched, knuckles white. Loosen it. Let go. Loosen your grip. Relax your grip on what you are trying to accomplish and to see happen in your own strength. There is a time for being still. Not in the sense, and I'm talking here, I want to make this clear. I'm not talking in the sense of just do nothing. just let your mind go blank type of thing. I'm not talking about that in the slightest. I'm talking about fixing your eyes upon Jesus. Let go of your striving and struggling and trying to cram as much as you can into your day, or trying to do these things in your own strength and battling, doing all of those things in your own strength. There are times when we all need to just loosen your grip. Loosen your grip. Let go. Be still. Some of you this morning who are here, maybe watching online, are notorious doers. You like to do. You get up and you're a type of person, you get satisfaction and meaning by doing things, accomplishing things, tasks, projects. From the moment you open your eyes to the moment you lay on your head on the pillow, you do. And the thought of being still terrifies you. The thought of just being still for one moment sends shivers down your spine, because you'll be thinking, I can just be doing things. I can be doing, accomplishing things. I've got so many things to do. But how do you do this? Well, the first thing I'd say is it requires you to be making a decision and sticking to it, realizing that there are times when you do need to stop, loosen your grip, come into the presence of God. And again, I'm not talking about, right, I can pray and read the Bible, because that can be part of the to-do list, as I said. That could be part of the things, I've got to do these things. But I'm just going to take a moment just to be in the presence of God. I'm going to fix my thoughts upon Jesus. Because sometimes we can pray, and you start off really well. We all do. We start off really well. Hallelujah, praise God. Thank you for today. Thank you for all... for my family, and I just want to commit this day to you. And oh my goodness, is that the time? I must pick up shopping later on. Ham, have we got ham? Not too sure. I need to put that on the list. I'll put that on the list. Where was I? Oh yes, Lord. That's right. Thank you, Lord. And it can go on like that. I tell you, it's a battle to carve out some time, to make time for this, to turn the phone off, shut the door, turn off the TV, take just a deep breath for a moment, start reading a favourite Bible passage or a Bible passage you're going through at the time, and use that to focus on God. I'll do anything to knock out, block out noise, anything. Even this week, I put ear defenders on. I kid you not. I put ear defenders. I've got ear defenders at home. I had to do some, a while ago, I had to do some drilling and stuff. I bought myself some ear defenders. And I'd workman working downstairs, couldn't hear myself think. I just needed time in God's presence. I thought, I'll put these on. I looked a complete idiot. But, hey, I've got to have time with God. Got to have time to be in his presence. But it's not just a case of being still. It's more than that. It's being still and knowing that he is God. It's fixing your thoughts on he is God. It's filling your mind with that he is God. That in whatever storms you're facing in your life today, God is my refuge. He is my strength. He is my help. He is my ever-present help in times of trouble. Oh, he is the one that has never left me, never abandoned me. He's for me all the time. It's knowing that God is your God. It's knowing that in amongst the surging of the seas and the earth giving way and the nations in uproar, it's being still and knowing that he is God. So in your dealing with anxiety over finances, or a job, or you having problems with your kids, or you struggling with personal issues that no one else knows about, be still. Be still and know that he is God. It reminds me of the passage from Luke 10:38. We know that's the very famous story of Mary and Martha. And Jesus and the disciples, when they went to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair?" Or in another version it says, "Don't you care that my sister just sits here while I do the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." See, Martha was distracted. Now, Martha was the one who invited Jesus in. "Come in, Jesus. But I'm really busy. I've got to prepare. I've got to do this and that and the other. And I've got to do all these things." Mary got it. Sat at Jesus' feet. Just listened to him. Just in his presence. You can see Martha in the background, frantically, stressfully, running around. "I've invited Jesus, so I've got to do this, and I've got to do that, and I've got to do the other." And then what does she do? It says that she was distracted. Jesus said, "You're distracted by many things." You're distracted by many things? Because then she goes on to doubt. She says to Jesus, don't you care that I've got to prepare all of this?" We can sometimes get distracted and doubt if we don't spend time with Jesus. It's something that, to be honest, I think we probably all struggle to one degree or another. I'm more of a doer. I like to, you know, carpe diem and all that. I want to crack on, get things done. Sometimes just need to breathe. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Allow, just know that God loves you. Know that God is your refuge and strength. Because honestly, we can go probably for months at a time and not know that. Because we're busy doing. We get great satisfaction in accomplishing and doing stuff. Very rarely do we sit at the feet of Jesus and say, "Jesus, I just want to... 15 minutes in a day doesn't sound much, but just to spend 15 minutes just reading a verse and then spending time in his presence. I was very blessed this week, able to go away for a retreat with a number of other pastors from the churches that we relate to in Catalyst. And we went to a place in Penhurst in East Sussex. Lovely, lovely house where we just didn't do a great deal, but we prayed. We listened to one another's stories. We had a whole couple of days of hearing testimonies, which was just mind-blowingly brilliant. I loved it. But then after each testimony, we would pray. Just pray, "Oh, God's blessing." Just asking God to pour out his spirit on brothers. And it's just a great time. A great time just to... That's a rather broad being still. But we can do the mini be stills, can't we? In our own week. In our own day. I desperately needed that time. I loved that time to be still and know that God is God. So I'm going to ask Dawn and team to come up, because I want us to just spend a moment, actually, just to, for this morning, right now. And no doubt, I'm going to try and rein in you're going to have to try and rein in your thoughts right now, because already they are chomping at the bit. They're stomping the ground. Your thoughts are raring to go because you've got the rest of your Sunday to go. And they're pushing against the gate of your mind. You're going to rein them in. And just give yourself the next 5-10 minutes, okay? Just to come into the presence of God and just be at the feet of Jesus and just know that He is God. So for whatever storm you're going through, whatever trial you're going through, you may not be going through one, you know that God is God. He's for you. He's your refuge and strength. So let's stand, shall we? After this time of just being in God's presence, if God speaks to you, maybe gives you a word, then share it. God gives you a verse to share, share it. But this is time now. Let's just come into the presence of God, shall we?
As a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. be lifted up. Be lifted up. Be lifted up. As we bow down. Rejoice, let the nations be glad, let the whole earth tremble, for you are God. Come worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The heavens rejoice. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And as we bow down, be lifted up. As we be lifted up, oh, yeah, yeah. Be lifted up, yeah. Be lifted up, oh my Lord, be lifted up as we bow down. Be lifted. Rejoice, let the nations be glad, let the whole earth tremble, for you are God. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Ooh, yeah, yeah. Let the heavens rejoice. Be glad, let the whole earth tremble, for you are God. Come worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. As we bow down, be lifted up. As we bow down, be lifted up.
If anyone wants to, has got anything to share, then come up and just share it now, if it's a verse or if it's a word. Yeah, I just want to share a testimony that I heard this week, which I never heard before. It's actually my mum. Now, I'm one of seven kids, and I don't know, those who've had kids know what it's like when you've got a newborn baby and they're keeping you awake all night, and how that affects your sleep, how that affects your day, how the tiredness affects. My mum had seven kids,
And on top of that, my dad had developed Parkinson's disease in his 20s to the point where he couldn't move. And my mum had to care for him. You know, if you imagine every time you have an itch and you want to scratch it and you can't, you need somebody to do that for you. So not only seven kids, no sleep with newborn babies, but constantly looking after my dad all day and all night. I remember she was saying to me that the only time that she could have peace to rest was in church. And she used to sit at the back of the church and fall asleep. That was her life. Lily was talking to her this week, and she said, you know, there was one day after days and weeks and months and years of this struggling, this tiredness. And she was just in the shower and she said to herself, you know, I can't do this anymore. I just don't have the strength. And as Matt was saying, you know, that you need to have that connection with God. And God said to her, speak the words, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Lily was telling me, she said it reluctantly the first time. But as she began to say this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. The Holy Spirit came down and she had a little mini revival there in the shower. And it didn't change the situation. She still had to face the children. She had to face for caring for her husband. But God gave her the strength in that moment as she focused on God. As she spoke those words of power, God came, met the need, strengthened her. And it was just so outstanding to me. I heard that for the first time this week. And it just fitted in exactly with, I thought I'd share it with you guys. You know, focus on God and let him strengthen you whatever you're going through.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah, thank you, Ben. That's great. That's great.
I was just sat there and we were praying and singing, worshipping. And I felt God say very clearly to me, I have deliberately made you with limits. You have limits in terms of your strength. You have limits in terms of your own resources. I've even given you a limited amount of faith, actually. But your faith is like a seed. And if you put your faith in the right place, I will grow it. And there will be no lack. And I remember a story. It's funny that Ben should bring a story about his mother. I remember a story of my grandmother. My grandmother was back in the 1940s. Her husband left her. I never knew my grandfather, but my grandmother, she was a woman of faith, and she was bringing up two children, and she worked, and she never ever lost her faith in God. And I remember a story about one Christmas when she'd done everything that she could do for the children. She provided everything that she could for the children, and she had a bill to pay, and she had no money left, and she just got on her knees and prayed with all the faith that she could muster. Say, Lord, I've got to the end of myself. I've used all the resources I've got. I need you now to help me. And she heard the letterbox go. And she went down and she went to the letterbox, and there was a Christmas card with a £10 note in it that had just been delivered through the door. She never knew who it was that gave it to her. My nan was one for looking out the window, but she couldn't see who it was. They'd already gone. And she's convinced this day that it was an angel that put that card through a door. And I just feel that so strongly for each and everybody here, that maybe you're getting to the end of yourself with something. Maybe, you know, you've used up the resources that you've got. When you've reached the end of yourself, God says, with me there is no lack. I am limitless. If it's my mercy you want, it's like a flood. If it's my strength that you need, it's there for you. And it is without equal. There is no end to it. And if it's resources you need, I'm here for you. I'm just waiting for you. Yeah. But I need you to, you know, reach out and take my hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's just in this last moment, let's just pray, shall we? And just as we're closing our eyes, if there's anyone here that just wants, who needs to, they feel like they've been struggling, they feel like their grip on their life is something that's very, they're a doer and they've been gripping hard
and they've been struggling in their own strength. And if that's you, you can let go this morning and allow God to just bring revelation of his love for you, how he cares for you, that you needn't struggle anymore. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that in you, you have provided us a way in which we can go through life not haphazardly or not busily scurrying around, trying to do everything in our own strength with a sense of just determined hurry. But Lord God, we thank you that we can be still and know that you are God. Be still and know that you are God. Lord, I pray for all of us here this morning as we go into this week ahead, that we wouldn't be dictated to by the hurriness of life, that we would learn to say no to certain things, we would learn to carve out time for you, Father. Help us, God. We need your help in this. We don't want to be slaves to the diary, Lord. We don't want to be slaves to the to-do list. But Lord, we just ask for your help, and I pray that we would all have encounters with you this week where we are in the stillness before you. You meet with us very powerfully. I just pray this in your wonderful name. Amen. 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 Thank you. Sorry for going over time a bit, but if you've got to pick up kids, you can go downstairs, pick those up, and then refreshments will be served up here.